Golf course architect Tripp Davis joins me, and he is coming to us from Gasparilla Golf Club in Florida. And we want to start there. Tripp, thanks for being with us. First of all, you're doing this job after the result of damage from Hurricane Ian, I believe it was last year. When you got the call to do this job, how did that all kind of come about? And what was kind of your immediate first thought as an architect of what needed to be done?
Well, we had been hired to do a renovation redesign of sorts prior to the hurricane, and we were almost done with the master plan when the hurricane hit, and so I came down and met with everyone, and the damage was it wasn't as bad as I thought it might be, but it was enough that it was going to keep the golf course from being able to open on schedule. And so we got with the owners, and were able to get contractors put together to come in and start in early January. So it was a bit of a rush getting plans done and so forth. But the good thing is that in Florida, there's contractors are not as busy, October, November, through really now, May. And so it worked out pretty well in our favor, actually. And we're about 75% done, 80% done right now.
Kind of what point in the process of any of these kinds of jobs do you see the finish line? Is it this point? Is it 50%? Is it 100%? Are you at what point in the job you're like, all right, we've done my part. Now it's just making sure the actual widgets are made to finish the physical job you've put together.
Well, it's a lot like any kind of race you run. You need to run that thing through the finish. And so you're I try not to get too complacent in any way, shape, or form. And I stay pretty involved anyway. I'm not an architect that kind of hands the plans off and checks in every once in a while. I'm here quite a bit. I actually do a little work on shaping greens, shaping the finish surfaces of greens, and doing some finish work. So I'm pretty well involved anyway, and that's why we only do, one, two, sometimes three at a time. And but you do get to a point where you start thinking about, man, I can't wait to play this. And we're there now, here, and but you definitely actually had a talk with the guys, everybody down here yesterday. Just kind of said, hey, we're getting close, but this is when we need to be our most sharp.
In dealing with club membership and club ownership, do you kind of get shielded from the folks who are like, hey, when's it going to be done? Or where are things at the process? Or do you like those kinds of interactions of their excitement for what you're working on, what's coming?
Well, it's one of the reasons I really like doing renovations and restorations is the interaction you do get with the membership, the relationships you develop, and when you're doing a new course, and it's been a while since we've done one, there's usually nothing else out there. You don't really meet with too many people. You don't spend a whole lot of time except with the construction guys, and so renovations and restorations are a lot of fun for me because I like to be, a people person of sorts, I guess. And it's fun for me to explain to the members what we're doing and so forth. You do have to manage expectations. A lot of times, the members have been without the golf course for a year and they're expecting it to be perfect when it opens. And, we have to explain that this has been through major cosmetic surgery in a way, and it's going to have some scars.
Yeah.
But I like the interaction. I think, for me, it's fun. And it adds a personal element to it. Getting to know people that makes the project more enjoyable.
Is there, or what is the significance of a difference between a member-owned club and maybe either a corporate or single individual even owned club? Where you're doing work, is the relationship different? Is the process different from start to finish, or are they pretty similar?
They're pretty similar. We actually are working with Escalante Golf, which is a group out of Fort Worth that owns a good many high-end properties around the world now. And the membership, you know, that they often will inherit when they buy a club, it stays pretty involved. And I like, and I've kind of gotten them on the same wavelength of thinking. You know, instead of the membership being a clientele, and you know, let me think of them as your membership and treat them the same way, do the same things that I do when I'm working with a member-owned club, and that's proven to be pretty good. You know, the biggest difference is that when you're working with a company like Escalante, I've got you know, a typical point of contact with the ownership. It's a little bit more run like a business, in terms of the project, and but other than that, it's pretty similar.
Did you have to make, I mean, what's the kind of the pitch process like to an Escalante? Is it a corporate component and a local component, or is it just, hey, we're talking at the, you know, the corporate level, the folks who are overseeing all these places around the world that you're talking about?
Well, with Escalante, it helped that I played at the University of Oklahoma, and three guys that own it are University of Oklahoma grads, so that didn't hurt. And they're good guys. We're like-minded. As a matter of fact, I'd known them for a good while. I actually went to school. I was the same year as one of their brothers that's not as involved with the golf side of their business, but. And it was almost 10 years before we actually started working together. And, you know, and I told them that, you know, it needed to be something that needed design. You didn't need me to come in to just do renovation, you know, or, you know, to enhance something, just from, and keep the way it was. When you got to a project where you felt like you needed to, have the design elements involved and you really wanted it to, you were going to elevate the quality of design. That's when I really wanted to get involved. And it was about 10 years before they called me and said, we have just bought a club in Boston, International. And we work with them on the Oaks course there and, you know, redesign bunkers and tees and change some fairways a bit and, you know, tried to, get the golf course more brought into the modern era. And so since then we've worked with them at the gallery out in Tucson, and we're doing Black Diamond here in Florida with them this summer, and then Sonoma Golf Club out in California this summer as well. So they're a great group to work with and good group of people just to be around.
Do you, or do they kind of approach the work that you're doing throughout their portfolio as almost you're an in-house architect, or is there a difficulty in trying to maintain a relationship as I know these people, I'm friendly with them and I'm working with them consistently, but at the same time, I want to be Trip Davis and have my own firm and work that I'm doing as part of this series.
Well, for them, they've gotten to a point where they were wanting to start to elevate the quality of the design of some of their properties. And so, you know, they've worked with Jason Straka a little bit, mm-hmm. who's an architect out of Ohio that works with Dana Fry. He's worked with them on a project, and they own a couple of Nicklaus courses as well. And Chris Cochran and those guys are going to work with them on a couple of those. We're not doing everything that they've got, but we have, I guess, over the last few years instilled in them a confidence level that they know that they can get call us and we can help them with pre-planning type of stuff, pre-design type of things in terms of looking at potential cost elements. And so it's turned us into, you know, to someone they turn to. You know, the toughest part for us with them is, you know, as in the corporate world, you know, they, if they've got the means and they've got the time, they want to go. And, you know, a lot of our projects are 2, 3, 4, or 5 years in preparation. So, but they've been great to work with and helping us with being able to get into a project, and help with making sure that, they take a little bit off our plate in terms of being able to find materials. They have a couple of contractors that they're really comfortable with, and that's helped. So it's been helpful that way.
You mentioned it kind of took about a decade from start to working with a job with Escalante. Are there kind of any other examples you have of maybe playing the long game of getting to know someone or an owner or what have you at one stage of your life, and it just kind of took a while for whatever reason, whether time, investment, money, your schedule, to do a job with them?
You know, not as concrete or as obvious as you would think. I think I'm a unique guy in our profession in that I never worked for anyone. And I went to grad school after playing at Oklahoma. So I got into profession a little bit older than some, and I started on my own. And so I knew a lot of people from being in the golf world. I'm actually 25 years later starting to work with some of those guys that I knew. And so, I had to build up a confidence level, a reputation. It's been interesting. As we've gotten better projects, and as I've gotten better at what I do, and our whole team has gotten better, we've been able to open more doors. And it's, I'm working with people now that I've known for 30 years. And it wasn't necessarily, I think, always, well, Tripp's not there yet. And there were probably some of that for sure. But, some of it was just, it wasn't an opportunity. But it's a business that it's rare to see someone kind of come in and be an overnight sensation. And even if you think they are, like Andrew Green, for example, Andrew's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
He just didn't get the right opportunities, and, he did some really good work, and he became the man of the moment. And I think to some extent I have, and Andrew's a very good salesman and a very good marketing guy, and I'm more on the ground. A lot of our work is based on word of mouth, and word of mouth takes longer to spread. And but I've liked it that way. I'm certain I've probably missed out on some opportunities by not being someone that went out and looked for work or called this guy and cold called someone and took someone to dinner every time I was in town, where they lived or that kind of thing. But I think it's allowed us to mature at our own pace and get to where we are now at our, in a more comfortable way, and probably in a way that benefited us more. We were getting an opportunity like Atlanta Athletic Club. If it had come 10 years ago, I'm not sure we would have been ready for it.
In what ways do you think you have evolved, either as an architect, a businessman, whatever facet of the job you want to talk about, but that you're better than maybe 20 years ago?
Well, I believe it or not, I work harder. You think that you would work harder when you're younger, and I certainly worked hard when I was young to try to get my foot in the door and so forth. I spend a lot more time in the field than I used to, and we actually do less work than it. There was a time in the early 2000s, before 08, 09 hit, where, I had 6 projects going at one time. And I've learned that that's not who I am. I'm not a macro manager. I try not to be a micromanager either, but I'm much better when we've got a limited amount of work going on and I'm on the ground quite a bit. And part of that was my family. I wanted to be home more. My girls are now out of college and have their own jobs and their own careers. And, you know, and my wife actually went back to work to what she was doing as in her career. And so it's given me the freedom over the last handful of years to spend more time on sites. And so we've gotten better at paying attention to minute details. We've gotten better at having confidence in the way we do things stylistically, strategically, functionally. So I think as much as anything, Ryan, it was really more realizing that with my personality, with our personality, our team personality, we just had to be more uber focused.
You've got what, three jobs, I guess, going on at once right now, or two at the moment?
We'll call it two and a half. we've got Gasparilla, and then Ridgewood and Waco, which is a really cool old Ralph Plummer design. Ralph Plummer is the same guy that did Champions down in Houston, and a lot of other really good clubs around Texas. He didn't really work outside of Texas, but. And then we're doing nine holes at Green Tree Country Club in Midland, Texas. So kind of two and a half. We're close to done with Green Tree, and then here at Gasparilla, we're getting pretty close. And then Waco, Ridgewood there in Waco, we've got another couple of months. And then this year, we're going to be doing two projects kind of summer through fall. This year lined up to be kind of interesting. We'll have done five projects this year, all of a little bit different scale. Gasparilla and Green Tree and Waco are a little bit more full projects. The work we're doing at Black Diamond and Sonoma are more bunker and tee work for now. But yeah, it's been a busy year. Last year was Atlanta Athletic Club, Augusta Country Club, and Thunderbird, which is out in Palm Springs. And so Augusta Country Club kind of came up at last minute because of a need, and we were already working with them on a master plan. So this is kind of 2 years in a row that I've had that third project thrown in on top of things, I haven't played much golf, and so I just turned 55 too. So I want to play some senior amateur golf. But
and you're a player. You're a stick. Complain. You're not. You know. You're not no schlub here. You can play.
I have my moments. I need. You know, it used to be that I could. 10 years ago, I could not play for my pick up my clubs, play a couple rounds, and I was good. That doesn't happen anymore. I enjoy playing more than I probably ever have, Brian, because I went through a period where I had a really bad wrist problem. I had three different surgeries, and just being able to play is fun. But I'm playing a little bit of competitive golf this year, but it'll be fun.
I feel like I enjoy golf more now as I've aged. I mean, I just turned 40, so I got a little while to catch up, but I feel like I enjoy the game more, but I also feel like I enjoy it more the more I've learned about architecture. Do you feel like the more you get into the minutiae of a golf course and all the ones that you've worked at, do you maybe appreciate the game a little bit more than you did when you were younger?
That's a good point. You know, I think for me, it's been a little bit the other way around, in that I've gotten better at architecture, and I've enjoyed architecture by playing. And I've learned it more. You know, on the flip side, it's a hard game. I always approached it from a strategic point of view, Ryan. And so getting into architecture, you know, as a career, I think when I go play competitively or I go play another golf course of any kind, I certainly keep my eyes open to things that are interesting. And, you know, I love going and playing some of the old golf courses. I'm actually going to get to play in the Anderson Memorial up at Wingfoot,
Nice.
early June. And I played in that when I was a mid-am for 6 or 7 years in a row, but haven't been up there in a while. And so I don't think it helps my game as much as it is. I really just enjoy appreciating and taking what I can from what I'm seeing. You know, in the ability to read a golf course, you know, from an architecture perspective, I was always that way. I didn't have overwhelming physical skills, and so, you know, I became a good college player by thinking my way around the golf course. So, getting into design, I don't think it's really proved that. It's helped me the other way.
Is there an architect that modern, older, whatever generation you want to talk about, that not enough golfers, even ones who are into architecture, maybe either appreciate or know enough about?
Oh, there's a good many of the older ones. You know, William Langford, not a lot of people have heard of him, exceptional. Perry Maxwell is maybe someone that more people have heard of, but you know, your average guy has probably never heard of Perry Maxwell,
yeah.
And he was phenomenal. You know, in the modern age, trying to think, that's a good question. That's someone that I've played some work. You know, Brian Curley comes to mind to some extent. I don't know if you know Brian or
I don't.
He works with Lee Schmidt, and I've always enjoyed the work that he and Lee did. So he's not as well known. But there's a, you know, in the modern age, we've got I think we're going through like another golden era or golden age, whatever you want to call it, in golf course design. And I think it's helping more guys be good at what they're doing. And so we've got a lot of that going on today. But, you know, the older guys, Ralph Plummer, you know, a lot of people don't know who Ralph Plummer is. And the guy was phenomenal at routing golf courses. Did really good green complexes. And Bill Diddle is another guy that hardly anybody ever knew. He was one of the original members of the American Society of Golf Course Architects. Did a golf course that had a U.S. Open 4 years after it opened in Dallas and Northwood that we were fortunate to renovate. But there's a lot of guys out there. I mean, you know, you hear of the bigger names even today and from the past, and it's there were so many more people that did good work that you don't hear about.
Where you are at in your career, which kind of your goals personally or professionally, depending on how you want to talk about it, for the next, let's say, 3-5 years?
Well, you know, I'm getting fortunate to be getting to do the work that I really enjoy. You know, I've done a little bit of work on golf courses that have hosted events. We actually have a lot of USGA events coming up on projects or clubs we've worked at. Oklahoma City Golf and Country Club is going to have the women's four ball. Oak Hills down in San Antonio is going to have a women's four ball and a senior amateur. The work we did at Atlanta Athletic Club is going to at least be the host for the co-host for the USAM, the women's AM, the US girls junior. So, you know, being a competitive golfer, I think that's the one part of my career where I could have pushed a little more, Ryan, was to get involved in more tournament type stuff. And I'd like to do that, you know, going forward. And, we'll have some opportunities to do that. You know, Oaktree, where we had the U.S. Senior Open in 2014 after we redid it in 08-09, and we've done some work since then, and there were a lot of hands in that. I you know, sometimes fade to take all the credit or much credit there because there were a lot of people involved. But I was the architect, they've got another senior open coming up in 27, but there's some stuff that we're working on looking at that are going to have some level of tournament play, and hopefully, and I'd love to do a project where we have a men's major, and I think I have a lot to offer in that regard just because of my background as a player. And we're I think that's going to happen pretty soon.
Well, Tripp, thanks for taking some time to talk to us. Middle of a job, in the middle of the day. We appreciate it, and hopefully we can talk again soon about one of those dream jobs you're hoping to land and some more of your work.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, Ryan. And I'd love to come back anytime. And it's been good because I've been sitting in my car with it running and the air conditioning on, and I've got 2 more hours before I have to head to the airport or go get a shower before I go to the airport because it's about 92 degrees down here today. So thanks.